Well, good morning. It's good to be here. It's a while since I've been able to speak because I've not been put on the rota. They've cut me off. It's nothing to do with being ill. But it is good to be here, and I just want to share some stuff this morning that I hope will encourage you and just help you in your daily walk with God. He's playing with my voice now. Yeah. It's as I'm talking, Craig is trying to kind of find my voice. He will do in a minute. I've been given a sheet this morning. Katie has brought some changes to the way we operate, and she's given me 25 minutes. I don't know whether that's aspirational or there just to cut me off when I'm ready to go. But I want to do three things this morning. Firstly, I want to just reflect on the last few months of my journey with health. I want to say that God has been part of that. And it's been, although it's been somewhat of a painful experience, it's been incredibly, is easy the right word? God has just been there. He's done everything that he needs to do. He's healed me. He's kind of done amazing things. And some of it is unpleasant, it's not been unbearable. It's just an amazing journey. And all the doctors that I see go, you look really well. And although for me that feels quite normal, externally, people recognise that God is part of what's happening. And he's really healed me and he's continuing to heal me. So thank you, God. It's been amazing. And I think what I want to share this morning in a moment or two is how God is interested in the daily existence that we have and how the Holy Spirit works with us to be able to enable us to access all that he is. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit in a moment or two, but I just want to as well bring a statement. It's kind of an update of where we are as church and where I am as leader, just so there's a little bit of clarity in the leadership model at the moment. And many of you will be aware that last September I announced on the appointment of Katie Ann that there will be a transition period of 18 months, at which point I would retire.
Yes.
I'll say that before you do. And Katie Ann will become the senior leader. Due to health issues, some of that responsibility I've been carrying has been passed to Katie Ann sooner than expected. She has responded brilliantly and currently is working 25 hours a week and is overseeing several areas, both for the charity, because we've got to manage the charity, and the church. There's a duality of role when you become senior leader. I am due to begin my second round of chemotherapy in July in about 3 weeks, and this will be a period again when I may not be around as much as intended. During this period, Katie Ann will take the full responsibility of Carmel Community Church, supported by the elders who have been brilliant and the trustees who also have been brilliant. I'm sure that they will have your full support. Any issues, any problems, any real hard theological questions can be directed straight to Katie Ann. Okay. Who will redirect them somewhere else, I'm sure. Once my treatment is completed, I will return and begin the process of handing over the reins to Katie Ann with a planned retirement date of the 31st of December this year. We will have an induction and commissioning service on the 24th of January to officially pass the baton to Katie Ann. So that's going to be the process. So there will be a gradual move away from what I do, and it'll be placed on Katie Ann. At the end of the year, I will retire, and then Katie Ann will be commissioned on the 24th of January. Some things will change, as I'm sure you will know, as Katie Ann brings her own vision to the church. We've been talking for the whole of the time that Katie Ann's been with us about our value, our culture, the way we see vision, and she will bring her vision to that to add to it. And I believe that Carmel will benefit from the change of leadership. I will remain as senior leader until my retirement,
but there will be a gradual move of responsibility to KTM. Currently, I've taken the role of building manager and will continue this role until a replacement is found. The building, or the running of the building, is quite a call on somebody's time, and we wanted to remove that from KTM. It can be quite onerous at times, so I'm going to carry that on until such a time, if anybody applies to be building manager, the application forms are over there, until somebody can be found to replace me. Mine and Linda's intention is to remain as members of Carmel once I have retired. We're not going anywhere. Hard luck. We're going to hang around. I will remain an elder for the short term and step down when the time is right. This is our church. This is mine and Linda's church, and we want to be part of it and continue to contribute wherever we can. Is that clear? Good. That's good. So we're going to be here. It's actually on the 30th of June, which is obviously in a few weeks, I will have been the senior leader here for 20 years. Which is an amazing period, isn't it? For those of you that have journeyed with us, that 20 years has just gone almost like no time at all. I've been here since 1979. If somebody would care to do the maths, you can work out how long I've been here. Linda's been here since she was six. She's been here longer than myself. So we don't want to leave. We want to be part of what's going on, and we want to be an encouragement to the leadership as we remain. I want to talk this morning about the work of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit enables us to live the life that we sing about, that we read about, that we sometimes in our mind and in our heart we want to aspire to. So many of us don't actually feel that we're making it, and I'm sure you know what I mean. We come on a Sunday morning and we can feel unworthy. We can feel that we're not quite there, that we're not receiving everything that God has got for us. And sometimes that's because we don't understand the work of the Holy Spirit, or we don't allow the Holy Spirit actually to invade our hearts and bring the fullness of all that God has got for us. Always I felt that the message of the gospel is life-changing and transforming. It's powerful, and it can change the world. We live in a desperate place, but the gospel of Jesus Christ can turn that around. This world could be different if we took hold of all that God has got for us, and we actually lived the life that is available to us. It would just be a mighty witness to the world. And so we want to be in that place as church where we are experiencing all the Holy Spirit has got for us, and it actually impacts our community in a great way, in a greater way than we do at the moment. So I want to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit. I've got quite a few scriptures this morning, which we'll just reference, but the longest one is what we're going to start with. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples. He was about to ascend to heaven. He was preparing his disciples for what was to come. And this is what he said to them. I tell you the truth, it is better for you that I go away. If I do not go, the helper will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. When the helper comes, he will show the world the truth about sin. He will show the world about being right with God. And he will show the world what it is to be guilty. He will show the world about sin because they do not put their trust in me. He will show the world about being right with God because I go to my Father and you will see me no more. He, that's the Holy Spirit, will show the world what it is to be guilty because the leader of this world, Satan, is guilty. The Holy Spirit will give honor to the Son. I still have many things to say to you. You are not strong enough to understand them now. The Holy Spirit is coming. He will lead you into all truth. He will not speak on his own words. He will speak what he hears. He will tell you of things to come. He will honor me. He will receive what is mine and will tell it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. That is why I said to you, he will receive what is mine and will tell it to you. Okay, so that's Jesus talking to his disciples, saying, look, the Holy Spirit is coming. I've got to go and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, but it's better for you that the Holy Spirit comes than I hang around. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, he invades the world, not just the presence where I am. And he's going to begin to reveal stuff to your hearts, the truth of God. He will bring conviction upon the lives of those in the world because they sometimes don't even understand what sin is. And if we remember back to that moment when we came to faith, there has to be that realization, that revelation that we are sinners, that the truth of who God is, that his holiness, his righteousness is revealed to us, and we recognize our state before God. And at that moment, when the Holy Spirit has revealed that to us, we respond in faith, believing God is going to just forgive our sin and transform who we are. Acts 1:7-9, he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. Just listen to this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I'll talk a little bit about power later on. But when the Holy Spirit lives in our heart, the way we live is different. We are empowered to live a full Christian life. We become overcomers. We become powerful beings to face life in a completely different way. So Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be our helper. He helps us. That's his role. He helps us live this life. He helps us understand what Christianity is about. He helps us understand the will and the purpose that God has placed in us. He helps us understand the truth of God. There is nothing to be frightened of when we talk about the Holy Spirit. It's God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about God actually doing this work in us. So God is a spirit and brings our spirit alive when we are born again. And he speaks to our spirit. So at salvation, our spirit is brought alive. And it's that bit of us that God communicates with through his Holy Spirit. This is why it is to our benefit or advantage to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because it puts us in communion with him all the time. A couple of Sundays ago, it was when Lisa was speaking, I was challenged about how we live our Christian lives and how our relationship with the Holy Spirit is so important. And I've got six little paragraphs that will help us get to grips with the Holy Spirit. Six D's. D, 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 D. So here we go. First one is dangerous. When God breaks into our lives, we have an internal revolution. I don't know whether you did, but I did. There was a revolution going on in my heart. Who's right? Is it me or is it God? What am I going to do? Am I going to do my own thing or am I going to do God's thing? We are really inviting God to be number one in our lives as we hand our will over to him. And I think many of us struggle with that concept of handing ourselves over to God because we feel that we are no longer in control, that things are going to happen that we don't want to happen. And so it is a real challenge, actually, to give our will over to God. But that's what he wants. If we want to live a full Christian life, if we want to receive all that God has got for us, we've got to allow him to be number one in our lives. And I believe this is the greatest and most constant challenge to all of us who are believers. All the way through our Christian walk, it's who's in charge. Do I want my own way, or am I prepared to lay down my preferences for God's will? It's dangerous for each of us as we contemplate what God's will is, what his purpose is, what his values are when we become new Christians. God wants to completely remake us, to heal us and complete us, but we must be willing to allow this to happen. When the Holy Spirit challenges us, when he reveals love, when he reveals conviction, when he reveals the truth of who God is, we've got to be willing to listen and obey what he is saying, what he's revealing to us. We know that God is a God of love, and the Holy Spirit will always be revealing that to us. But we've got to make a choice. Are we going to believe that God loves me? Are we going to believe that wherever I go, he goes with me? Whatever I do, he stands next to me. Do we believe that? Or don't we? The Holy Spirit is always revealing the truth of who God is to our hearts. But we've got to be an active part of that relationship and allow our hearts to respond to him. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He's not here to drive us into the ground or make us feel miserable. He's there to complete the work of God in our hearts. And this is the dangerous part of our journey. Submitting to God, giving him our will, and allowing him to change our values, behaviors, language, and attitudes. That's dangerous. It's very challenging. Because I think I'm always right. I don't know about you. And then the Holy Spirit will say, but you're not. I go, but I am a bit. And the Holy Spirit will go, no, you're not. And we have to submit our will to him, our behaviors, our attitudes, the things that we hold close to our heart, those things that make us who we are, very often aren't the right things. They can be learned from families. They can be learned from work. Our culture can invade our heart. And God wants to challenge some of that. That's why it's dangerous when we become Christians, because he begins to refocus all of our values, all of who we are, to be God-facing and God-obeying. It's hard. It's what I find the hardest thing. I was talking to the discipleship group last week. I was saying the hardest thing I found when I came to faith was this challenge, this inner challenge all the time of God wanting to change me. And I'm going, but I don't want to change. I don't want to do that. I don't want to receive that. And it was a battle for 2 or 3 years until I kind of go, okay, have your way. Jesus said, didn't he, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but yours. If I can get out of this, God, if I can lay it down to one side, please find a way out of this, but not my will, your will. And sometimes we have to, in those battles, we have to just lay down our will and go, not my will, but yours. It says in 1 John 5, in fact, this is the love for God, to keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So that, what that means is we want to be living a life there. We go, I want to please God. Everything I do, I want to please God. Now we can be obedient to rules, but they are burdensome. They are. There's rules about paying tax. Nobody wants to pay tax, but it's a rule and we've got to do it. But it's not a pleasant thing. We don't go, oh, I'm going to pay more tax this week. Great. But when we're in this relationship with God, we want to please God. Whatever it is that pleases God, whatever it is that is God's will and his purpose, I want to please him. I want to be obedient, and it's not burdensome. It doesn't weigh heavy on my heart. It's not something I'm doing because I have to. I'm doing it because I want to please God. And that's the obedience. That's, in fact, that he says, this is love for God, that we live that kind of attitude in our daily lives. And there's loads, isn't there, as Jesus was talking, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay. Do I have to? Yeah, you do. It's a challenge, isn't it, some of these things. Love those around you as yourself. Love your enemies. Oh, I don't fancy that. Forgive those who have offended you. Forgive your debtors. And so there are some things that invade who we are. God wants to really challenge and change us. Why? Because he wants us to receive everything that he's got. And if we're living with unforgiveness, if we're living with a little bit of, I'm not loving you, in our hearts, it's restricting the work of God. So our faith is a danger to our old self. And we've got to be prepared to let God in. We've got to let him in to change who we are. But we can sometimes be comfortable with who we are, and we don't want to face the changes that God wants to bring. That's the danger of our life. But the Holy Spirit is our helper. Those moments where we are making those decisions, the Holy Spirit is there to help us. He's there to encourage us. He's there to reveal God's love. Even though you're finding this painful, God loves you. He wants the best for you. So our Christian life is dangerous. Dangerous for everyone who is committed to him. We've got desperate. Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. So desperate. How desperate are you for God to do something in your heart? How desperate are you for God to be everything and you to be nothing? We sang this morning, hear your people crying out. Are we crying out to God in our daily lives? Are we looking to him? Are we wanting his will for our lives? Are we wanting to see him work in our community and our work and our world? Are we desperate for God to do that? There's another song we sing going, I'm desperate for you, I'm desperate for you. And we sing these things, and they're great songs, but the depth sometimes of what we're singing has got to resonate with where we are in life. Are we desperate to see God do things? Most of us live comfortable lives. We manage okay and get through life without too much hassle. We're very privileged in this country, in this nation, to have what we have. I know we've got our issues, but compared to the majority of the world, we are really blessed. In the West, we have a culture that's based on self-sufficiency. So we go to work, we provide for our families, we pay our bills. And if we're not careful, we can easily get drawn into this thinking that we are responsible, that we are capable, that almost we can live life and God doesn't really need to be part of it. As believers, we're called to obedience and connectivity with the vine. Paul reminds us that we don't receive because we don't ask. Asking is really important. It reveals our heart to God whilst we begin to pray. That shows our desperation. It shows our heart when we pray to God. If we don't pray, it's not revealing who we are to God. God knows what's going on, but he wants us to respond. He wants us to show our desperation for him to begin to move. It says in that scripture that God gives us the desires of our heart. That's a great scripture, that, isn't it? Gives us the, so what are you desiring? What are your desires? But the other part of the thing is when we delight in him. So we've got to be desperate. We've got to be delighting in God. We've got to understand where God sits in our lives. And then he begins to give us the desires of our heart. And when we delight in God, our desires will be towards God and not towards ourselves. I remember when I was growing up, only a young boy, my desires were like new. I want a bike, God. I want a bike. I want a new football. I want a cricket bat. I want all those things that little boys would want. And sometimes we can carry on that kind of relationship with God. I want, this is what I want. I want you to do all this stuff for me. But when we begin to desire God, when we begin to delight in him, he begins to reveal his will for our hearts and our lives, and he begins to give us the desires of our heart because they will be for the right thing. The Holy Spirit is our helper in this. He sorts out our natural desires from our spiritual desires. He's beginning to change our heart, and he gives us a thirst for God. Doubt. As believers, we must believe who God is and what he's doing. It's faith, that's what it's called. We've got to believe in God, believe in all that he is and all that he's saying, so that we can put our faith in him. The enemy knows that the greatest weapon in our Christian walk is doubt. Because when we live in our Christian lives with doubt, God can do nothing. We walk by faith. We live by faith, not by doubt. And so the enemy will be challenging our faith life all the time. Genesis 3, verse 1, this is typical of, I suppose, many of our relationships with God. Now the snake was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God has made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" That's doubt. That's the enemy seeding doubt into our faith life. Did God really say that? Did God really say he loves you? Did God really say he will never leave you? Did God say that you are a new creation? Did God really say that he's come that you might have life to the full? But where is it then? And doubt is sowed into our hearts. He dismantles the building blocks of the promises of God that we build our lives on as Christians. He tried that with Jesus, didn't he? But Jesus' response was always, "It says, the word of God says." That's why it's important we know the word of God. The moment we take our eyes off Jesus, we start looking at ourselves, our circumstances, and the enemy is straight in there. When those hard times of life come and you go, "Where is God in all this? Did God really say that he was going to do that?" Well, where is he then? Which is why we need to be full of the Holy Spirit to recognize when these attacks are happening. You've got to stop yourself at that point and go, "Yeah, he did. This is what God said." And we need the Holy Spirit sometimes to be our encourager and our reminder of the truth of who God is. Don't live in doubt. Be full of the Holy Spirit and live in faith. Disappointment. That's a real emotional roller coaster, isn't it? Disappointment. We can be up and down as we go through life and feel disappointed in ourselves and others, and we can even be disappointed with God. It's a real challenge, disappointment, when you're expecting something to happen and it doesn't happen. We become disappointed. And many of us live in the disappointment of our own actions, our own thoughts, our own attitudes, because we know God's standards are quite high. And we feel that our standard is so low, and we can be disappointed in where we are in our relationship with God. Life is tough. We face financial issues, relationship issues, career issues, health issues, sin issues. The list goes on, and very often we blame ourselves and feel disappointed and unworthy of all that God has got for us. We write ourselves off and disqualify ourselves from receiving the things that God has got for us. Disappointment leads to discouragement and a defeated Christian life. This is the bit I love. I love this verse. In fact, I think I spoke about this when I sent a video in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" It breaks all of our self-disappointment, all of our self-limitation and doubt. God doesn't judge us on our failings and looks at us through the eyes of Jesus. My grace is sufficient for you. No matter where you are in life, no matter how disappointed you feel in yourself, His grace, all that He is sufficient. It's sufficient. It overcomes. It's greater than our disappointment. And we need the Holy Spirit to constantly be reminding us of that. Destiny. When I was growing up, and I'm sure we all do this, one of the questions I was often asked was, what are you going to be when you grow up? Did you get asked that? And do you ask that of all the kids? Yeah, what are you going to be? And as a child, living in this perfect world, as I felt I was, it wasn't really a great thought in my mind. I'm not interested in what I'm going to be. I'm more interested in playing football and going fishing and being out with my mates and having a little bit of fun than to consider such a deep question. What's my destiny? What are you going to become? I didn't care. I just wanted to enjoy life. We all wanted to be successful in life, but often circumstances dictate our personal destiny. Very often we can kind of reflect on where we are and what we aspire to and feel that we haven't reached our potential in life, which leaves us feeling a little bit unfulfilled. This is what I wanted to do. This is what I felt, where I felt I was going, but I've not got there. And sometimes we can be seen as a failure in the world. And we can live in failure of our destiny if we don't add faith to it. So what does that mean? When we come to faith, when we're saved, we are new creations with the Holy Spirit working in us and changing our destiny as we walk with God. Our perspective of the reality and possibility of our destiny in God is completely changed. So we get a whole new view of where we're going as a believer than previously as an unbeliever. Our destiny is completely different. Christ came that we might have fullness of life, and this includes our destiny. When God casts his eye over us, he sees what we can become in him. He sees the possibilities that each of us has. With him in our lives, the things that we thought were impossible become possible. God begins to remake us. He deals with our inner selves. He mends our fears, our failures, our hurts, our self-esteem, all those things that hold us back sometimes and feel that we're not reaching our potential. What a great destiny it is in God. It's not dependent on our life circumstances or our perceived success or failure, but it's dependent on God allowing us to be fulfilled through the Holy Spirit, who reveals the truth of who we are in God. Each of us is called to have a role with God, our good deeds. So each of us here is destined to do good deeds. We are destined to be fulfilled in God. And I was always worried that God would give me something to do that I didn't want to do. I don't know whether you've ever had that thought. If I give myself over to God, he might ask me to go and work with all the children or all the young people. I don't want to be doing that. They're really annoying. Please don't call me to that ministry. Don't call me to do that good work. But here's the thing. He finds the right good work for each of us to do. Something that fits and brings us completeness in our destiny. With the Holy Spirit working in us, we may go to places and do things we never thought possible, but he equips and enables us to do more than we could imagine or think. Never doubt that you have a destiny in God. With the Holy Spirit working in us, we can reach God's destiny. And finally, there's a bit of a cheeky one, this is dunamis or power. Dunamis, the power of God working in us. So all the things that I've been talking about are possible because the power of God working in us is his power. We don't have to do it. We've just got to allow the Holy Spirit to do this in us. His power overcomes all the stuff that sometimes we struggle with. And it says in Acts chapter 4, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. After the death of Jesus, the disciples were in disarray as they tried to understand what was going on, what was happening to them. And Jesus asked them to wait in this upper room, and we've read from Acts the impact that this had on the way that they lived. They were turned from fearful, worried, concerned men into strong, powerful, mighty men who displayed the word of God powerfully in word and in action. What a powerful thing the Holy Spirit is. The power of the Holy Spirit overcame their natural fear. And the root word of this is dunamis, which is energy, power, might, great force, ability, and strength. One of the scriptures that we often refer to here is 2 Peter 1, verses 3 to 4. It says, his divine power, his divine dunamis has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us a very great and precious promise, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world called by evil desires. Our understanding is that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, our Christian walk becomes powerful. It becomes greater than what we could ever do on our own strength. And God overcomes the issues in our own lives, and we begin to demonstrate our faith in a powerful way. Our vision statement is live it, not in our own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. The great thing about our salvation and the great thing about the gift of the Holy Spirit is it enables us to live a Christian life that is beyond our own natural ability. That's why the Holy Spirit came. Jesus recognized that in our own strength, we couldn't do the things that we are called to do. The transformation that God wants to bring to our hearts and our lives, we can't do in our own strength. And very often we reach a brick wall when we're trying to improve ourselves, but the power of God breaks those walls. He brings new dimensions. He brings new destinies for each of us as the Holy Spirit lives in us. The Holy Spirit is not here to frighten us. We want to be able to have that relationship with him and allow him to speak to our hearts. And maybe this morning you are struggling with yourself, struggling with destiny, doubt, you're struggling with all those things. But when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, those things are blown away. And we just get a new dimension, a new way of living our Christian lives. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. He's here to help. He wants to infill each of us. And we often say, don't we, that the filling of the Holy Spirit is an ongoing experience. It's not something we experience once. But for those of us that have been journeying for a long time, sometimes we have to remind ourselves that it's not me, actually. It's the Holy Spirit. Our responsibility is to be desperate for Jesus. It's to be connected to the vine. It's to have that relationship with him so that he can begin to transform us. And there's that scripture, isn't there, in John 15, where it says that you can do nothing without me. And so we can try our hardest to live a Christian life. We can try our hardest to please God. We can try our hardest to be good. But we can't do any of that in our own strength. We can't produce anything without him being part of our hearts and lives. Let's be desperate for God individually and as a church. We want to see all that God has got for us in our hearts. Our sort of desire as a leadership is to see everybody in this place, where you're receiving everything that God's got for you, where you're living the most powerful, exciting Christian life that it's possible to lead. So let's be open to the Holy Spirit. So let's allow him to fill our hearts. Amen. Thank you.